Okay, Mr. Kenyatta.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear okay? Can you hear on the phone well enough?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. Could you please state your full name and your ABC number for the record?
It's Yahya Malik Kenyatta. DOC number 086250.
Okay, thank you, sir. You're being heard today for general parole, which is 412A, home arrest, or absolute discharge. And you became eligible for these on January 23rd, 2017. Now, I looked at your record, I understand that you had been out on home arrest?
Yes, ma'am.
And you were revoked, or how did you come back into prison?
Yeah, it was revoked.
Okay. And what was the reason for the revocation, sir?
Condition number 7, I had a glass of wine.
Okay. Okay, I think I remember. Okay, sir, I'd like to introduce you to the board that's conducting the hearing today. Although you can't see us, you can hear us. And you have in the room, we have in the room the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, our board chairman, the Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing today. And you also have a number of four supporters in the room, and they'll get a chance to speak at the time of the hearing when supporters normally speak. I'll start with a brief summary, Mr. Kenyatta, and I'll ask you to correct me if I have any of these facts wrong.
Okay.
Okay. Are you 49 years old, sir?
No, I'm 50. I turned 50 on the 14th.
Okay. Oh, I missed that. Okay. See, you correct me already. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And you're serving 25 years to life for a crime of aggravated assault, which was committed while you were on probation. And that occurred January 5th, 1991.
Yes, ma'am.
Were you about 23 when that happened?
I was 22.
22 when that happened. Okay, see, well, I've got you corrected me here. You were convicted in a jury trial, and that was on May 21st of 92, and sentenced on June 18th, 1992.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Did you appeal your conviction, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and the conviction was upheld then?
Yes.
Okay. We just don't have any, we don't have the documents. Sometimes we do, though. Okay, sir. And let's see. We'll look at your criminal history. You had prior prison terms, I notice, for a marijuana violation and a theft. And
yes.
You'd serve those, they were 1.5 years each. And did you serve those both at the same time?
Yes.
They were just running concurrent, okay.
Yeah, they ran concurrent.
Okay. All right, but then you were on some sort of probation when this crime occurred. Was that a county, or was that on parole? Were you on parole?
No, I was on probation.
You were on probation, and what was...
After I did the year flat in the county, I was on 3 years probation concurrent.
I see. Okay. All right. So that was a probation from something else.
Yeah. Okay. Possession of marijuana and the theft.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha. All right. And I'm looking at your prison discipline history. It looks like you've had 14 majors, sir. The last one I'm showing is May 22nd of 15. And it was a prison contraband, sir. What was that about?
Yes, I had it was no contraband. It was told that I had contraband. They wrote the ticket up as possession.
Okay.
It was wrote up as conspiracy to promote prison contraband. But they changed it to promoting prison contraband, but it was no contraband.
What was it, the item that you had?
They said it was spice.
And what was it?
Synthetic marijuana.
No, but what was the item that you had? You said it wasn't
contraband. No, I didn't have no item. It wasn't an item. They said it was, if they wrote the ticket up as conspiring to, but then when I had my hearing, they found me guilty of possession of prison contraband.
try to look for that, because sometimes we get a packet. We get information about discipline sometimes. And I don't see it this time. Okay, well, we'll just go on from there. This is the second or third time you've been before the board on this particular sentence? Maybe the third.
This would be the third.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. This is your third.
Yeah, first time I was denied, and they told me to come back in a year, and then when I came back, I was granted.
You were granted home arrest, and that was revoked in July of 18, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and what was that revocation for, sir?
Oh, that was the consumption of alcohol.
That was that you mentioned earlier, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. And then you saw the board again? No, you haven't seen the board again. This is the first time you've seen us since the revocation. Okay, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And it looks like you've completed some programming. Functional literacy. Did you get your GED?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, excellent. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You completed cultural diversity, it looks like, cage your rage, a couple of the trades programming. And this indicates you're attending Narcotics Anonymous. Are you still attending that, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you continue to attend that. That's excellent. Okay, and your release plan shows that you would live with your mother in Phoenix, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and you already have a job?
Yes.
What kind of work?
Construction at TPAC Construction.
Oh, okay. Do you know somebody there, or do they just know your work? Or?
Yeah, I was referred to them, and now they know my work pretty much, pretty good now.
Okay, so you've worked for them before?
No, when I got on, I was driven, you know. They know my work, and he sent a letter for me, you know, in support.
Okay.
The vice president.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Let's see if I can find that.
I have.
Okay. You're
there's a letter in there.
Is there a letter? Okay. I'm sure we have it. We just have a big packet. Okay. All right. Mr. Kenyatta, we haven't really talked about the crime itself, and I want you to tell us what happened on that day and kind of what was going on in your life and what happened the day of the crime.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I was out on a night with my child's mother, and we went over to Vinny's nightclub. After we left a previous nightclub, it had been raining earlier that day. So it was a puddle of water, like in the gully going up into the entrance. And as we went up through the water and went under the underneath garage parking that's adjacent to Vinny's nightclub and the restaurant there, Edgar Bevis, that's what it was back then.
Oh, yeah.
So as we went under there, it's dry now in the truck, you know, it had big tires, and as I'm coming around, it's making like a traction, like that traction noise as though I was speeding, but I wasn't speeding. So as I'm coming out from under it, I was approached by two security. They approached the truck, one approached the side of the truck, One stepped out in front of the truck as I was talking to the one on the side, and he say, "Sir, it's inappropriate to be driving, you know, in the parking lot in that manner." And I say, "I'm sorry, sir. You know, the truck has a large engine, and I'm sorry, and I'm just leaving." So we had that conversation, and as he pulled like stepped back away from the window, I simultaneously turned my head, you know, from him, and taking my feet off the brake. I didn't even put it on the gas yet, and the truck like started rolling, like just started rolling. This is when I look forward and I see the other officer in the front, and he hit the hood, like stop the truck, you know, like stop the goddamn truck. And I put my feet on the brake, and I was like, "Man, what are you doing? Why are you in the front of my truck?" You know, and then he started beating on the hood, and at this time, the other officer that was on the side of the truck Like he just rushed into the truck to, like, to turn the keys off or to pull the keys out. And I'm pushing his hand down, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then I knew I couldn't go nowhere. I mean, I got the officers in the front. So when I put the truck in park, the officer in the front pulled his weapon out and walked around to the side of the truck, pointed the gun down in the window. It was in my face. And I leaned over, putting my hand up to my face and leaning over on my fiance at the time. And his other officer seen that he was pointing the gun. And he pulled out, and that's when the gun went off, striking me in the side. I had two entrances. I thought it was, you know, it sounded like two shots to me because I got had two big old holes in me, in my side, right up under my armpit. And then when he shot, he backed away from the truck, and the other officer backed away from the truck. And he was, I guess, he was shaking his hand because I raised up, and I looked over and I seen he was shaking his hand and bent over, and his other officer was looking at his hand. And I fell to my side, and I looked at my fiance, and I said, babe, he just shot me. And she was screaming, and she just said, just go, just go. So I put the truck in low, and I sped out of the parking lot, jumped over some bushes in the sidewalk, because something in my mind told me if I went and turned out and went out, you know, out of the exit way, I just felt that he was going to take a shot. And I found out in my hearing that he contemplated taking another shot as the truck was leaving. So when I went out, I pulled the whole drive line out of the truck. So I'm just pushing the gas and it ain't going nowhere. And it's just coasting down the street. So the truck stopped and I get out. I know I'm hit and I know I'm bleeding. And I told her, I say, babe, I got to get to the hospital. I got to get to the hospital. So I'm running, trying to find, you know, anybody to take me to the hospital, going through the Colonnade, that mall, and end up coming out to the parking lot by the movie theater area. And it was two individuals leaving. And it was a black guy getting ready to get in his car. And it was two white gentlemen getting ready to get in their car. And I went straight to the black gentleman, and he turned. And he shut his door, and he ran back in the movie thing. And he wouldn't help me. And I turned to them. I said, man, I've been shot. I just need to get to the hospital. And they said, calm down. They put me in the car, you know, and they drove me to the county hospital. I got out of the county hospital. I got out right there. I told them, thank them. I went in, got on the gurney, and I told them I've been shot, and they rushed me into surgery. That's what happened that night of that incident.
Okay, sir. Well, if you think about it now, thinking back, just hearing your accounting of the story, I mean, I can understand that the officer in the front thought you might be trying to run over him. I can understand that. I mean, if somebody's right in front of your vehicle and the vehicle starts going,
right?
I can. I mean, just think about it logically. That I can understand that. So,
right.
So that part, I guess, I get. So, what was going on in your life? Were you working?
I had a job. I had a construction job. I was doing good. I mean, my daughter, she was 6 months old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my stepson that she already had, he was about 2 years old, and it was good. I mean, it was good. And it was just something in me that night just told me, man, just go home. But we went. And I said, we'll just drive through. And that night, it was just, it's like 28 years later, man. It was just a nightmare. It wasn't nothing planned, wasn't none of that. It just happened.
Puzzled, sir. Why did you run? Why? I'm puzzled about that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought me and that when he shot, and I know he didn't mean to shoot.
Right.
He doing his intent to shoot, but I'm thinking after I'm shot now, I mean, I'm not like, well, I was raised and out of Texas and coming up, I mean, I was afraid. I didn't think I was going to live. I didn't think he was going to let me live, you know, and I guess what then took place after that, you know, and what, you know, as far as how it was described and everything that happened and how it went, you know, that's what, you know, I guess I was feeling that. And that's why I made sure that I made it to the hospital, because, you know, no, the story wasn't even told in this correct manner. A lot of the witnesses that was out there wasn't even interviewed. They didn't even interview them. They interviewed a bouncer in the valet park. And the valet parker was right out there. In his statement in the police car that night, he said, I didn't see no reason for the police to shoot this man, because he wasn't being ran down, nor was they being drugged by this man's vehicle. That's Kent Polson.
Well, so the story you told really parallels the story that I'm reading. I mean, there's a write-up about this, and it parallels it very well. So they must have interviewed somebody, because it follows what you said. And you yourself said you think that the man shooting you was an accident. He didn't mean to shoot you.
Yeah, that's what I knew it was. And then when they checked, like, the gun, it was at the time one of his personal guns, and it was a Glock 9mm, and the trigger pull is in the trigger. And at that time, he had those big leather gloves on. So I know when they did the check on the trigger pull, it was at 5.5 pounds per pressure. And that was like a hair trigger. And the standard is like 7 to 8 pounds of pressure that was supposed to be on the gun. They did a test firing of his gun, seen that it was malfunctioning, seen that it wasn't working, fixed it and gave it back to him. That's all in the internal affairs report that I never got.
Did you learn all that at the trial?
Yeah, I learned all that when the Arizona Supreme Court gave me an in-camera inspection.
Right.
Because I went back on Brady versus Maryland in 15.1, because all of the evidence wasn't presented. That IA report wasn't in there. None of that stuff was in there. So I found this out later. So when I happened to go back, I ended up being back in the county 9 months. And when the prosecutor got ready to take the stand, this is when the judge stated, oh, I didn't know Ms. Sherman was prosecuting this case. I must let the record reflect that this is my best friend. She is my best friend, you know, but I won't allow my judgment to get in the way of what I know I need to do. And she said, you can't consult with your lawyer. And I didn't really have no money. I had $5,000 that I gave this lawyer to represent me at this hearing. You know, so all I had was him. And he told me, well, I know this judge. This judge is straight. She's strict by the law. And he said, you've been back 9 months in this county with this. Let's, you know, we didn't present it. And we have our case and we presented it. So I stayed with her. Her ruling came out. Our orders from the Supreme Court was, if you find anything under Brady and 15.1 that wasn't disclosed to this individual prior or during trial, give him a new trial. Well, she found all of this evidence is no stamp, is no nothing saying that it was disclosed to me or it was given to me. Nothing.
Well, Mr. Kenyatta, we're not here to retry this today. So,
okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, I was just explaining, you know, that aspect and why, you know, well, anyway, she ruled that this is about what was and what wasn't. I don't know if it was mislaid. I don't know, but I don't believe the prosecutors disclosed it and denied my hearing.
Well, Mr. Kenyatta, you were in prison for a long time. Then you were out for a little bit.
Yes.
Say we go back to before you were granted home arrest.
Uh-huh.
What is it that's different in you? How would you respond differently to that situation now?
Man, everything. Well, I won't even be in that type of situation. You know, I mean, I'm totally different in many ways, you know, in this time, you know, being in here. You know, I know and I've learned, you know, that it's we don't have much of it. And I'm been so determined, you know, now like no shortcuts, no, I'm not being in nothing like that. I just want to work, man, and, you know, and marry my fiance and love my family.
Okay, so I remember now the details about when you were revoked from home arrest, and that was the glass of wine, is that right?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
And was that the only glass of wine that,
that
you
was
had?
That was it.
While you were on supervision, while the entire time?
Yes, that was it. That was it. And that night I prepared a dinner, and I made this dinner, and I proposed to my fiance. Mm-hmm. And she had reserve on that. She didn't think that, no. And I said, well, it ain't not going, I don't know, man. It happened. And I've been the person in here, man, and I know, and I'm humbled now. Because I, being in this prison, I teach certain classes, and I talk, you know, to some of the youngsters, and I was hard on them. All the ones that came back all of this time, I was hard, and it humbled me that, you know, that an individual do make mistakes, and it happens. And I was just so hard, and it was me. I've been shamed. I feel shame. I feel everything, because that's not a problem for me. That's never been a problem for me. And it just happened to be like that. And I have to look at the positive in this negative. And what I see in it, and I know that it was humbling for me to now, you know, when I hear these brothers that make a mistake or do something, you know, it humbles me to not, you know, push too much, you know, on them. Like if a mistake can't be made, and it can be made.
Okay, sir. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Mr. Johnson, okay. Has a question for you.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I'm all right, sir.
All right. So I remember when you came back before this board. I remember when we granted you home arrest.
Is this Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir. And I remember we granted you home arrest. And I remember, you know, strictly going over some of your conditions of release back in January.
Yes.
And that you were not to miss any UAs and not to drink any alcohol.
Yes.
I specifically talked to you about that, sir.
Yes.
And when you were revoked, you not only had the glass of wine, as you say, but you missed two UAs.
Yes.
So I'm trying to understand, sir, that, and when this board did it, we were split. It was a 3-2 vote to grant you home arrest. It was a 3-2 vote, and I specifically remember talking to you about it. So what I'm trying to understand, sir, I need some explanation from you that's going to explain to me why we should let you back out when you missed two UAs and you had drunk alcohol, when this lawyer specifically told you not to do it. So you didn't get revoked for simply drinking a glass of wine. You actually got revoked because you missed two UAs. You missed two UAs kind of back to back, that you actually missed the UA on March 8th. You missed the UA, April 23rd, you missed your UA. Then in May, you were positive for alcohol. So
right.
You say you only drank one glass of wine. I'm trying to understand, sir. That's a problem. And I'm trying to understand from you, what's going to make the difference that you're not going to do that when this board strictly have already, you know, told you that that's not something you should be doing?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. And I explained that, you know, in my packet that I sent. And I know, like, the first one, when I did it on the 8th, I think, yeah, I did it on the 8th, on the 7th, and it was negative results. And at that time, that was my second UA that I took. And in my mind, I didn't call. It slipped my mind. I didn't call the next day. I didn't think that I would have my number come up the next day. And I know that ain't no excuse. And it happened. And my PO called me and said, Kenyatta, did you go take your UA? And I said, yeah, I took it. I took it on the 7th. He said, no, your number came up again on the 8th. I said, oh. And he said, go ahead and go take it. And I went on the 9th, negative results. And then the other one, where I failed to submit, that was 4/23/18, and I explained in there why I worked a 15, 16 hour shift. And at that time, I had asked my probation officer if he can put that in the phone to where he can text me, you know, the times. And he was trying, and he wasn't able to do it at that time. So, however, when I was going to work, I go to work at like 12:30 at night, and I had worked all the way from 12:30 to like, I think it was like 4:30 or 5 o'clock the next day, p.m. And I got off work, and it was in my mind to call it, but I was fatigued. I swear I just forgot to call, and I got home. And then when my probation officer called me and said, Kenyatta, you didn't, you know, take your thing. And he told me to go up there, and that was a 24. And I submitted with negative results. And then my next one was 5/4, negative result. And that one on 5/29, that's when, and I know it made it look like that. And that's one of the things that I was like, wow, now it's going to look like, you know, that this happened, and I've been doing this, but that was the only time that I had that glass of wine is when I made that dinner, and I proposed, you know, to my fiance, and that's on every day. That was the only time, and I know that, you know, even, you know, when I didn't call all those times, I knew it was big. I knew it was big. And I want to say to you, you know, that you was right when you told me it wasn't going to be good for me if I came back before you. And, it, you know, and because I remember that. And I remember that talk. And you know, it's been 9 months since, you know, my parole was revoked. You know, and in the midst of this 9 months, I lost my father and my mother. And I know time don't wait on nobody. But what it I've allowed, you know, because I studied, like, you know, some of your words, you know, and what you said in some of your pamphlets, your pamphlet on your clemency thing, when you and I allowed them words, you know, what you believe, and I allowed it for me, you know, going forward. And this is what I've been thinking about, and you stated and believe that the elements of collaborative leadership and hard work are an unbeatable combination. And I write poetry, I write and I think and I feel that, and that means a lot. And I'm determined to apply that to my life. You know, and I'm ready to marry my fiance and apply that, you know, to our love and our bond, you know, and be driven by that aspect. You know, and I know what is expected of me, Mr. Johnson. I know what is expected of me, and it was the same thing that was expected of me when you granted me my parole. You know, and as you believed in me then, and all I can ask is, you know, just forgive me. I apologize, you know, not just to this, you, to the board, to my family, and I ask, you know, to believe in me now. That's all I can ask, and I know it was a mistake, and I made that mistake, and I accept my responsibilities. I didn't shirk it. I didn't, you know, I'm here, you tell him this, tell him, no, man, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say what I did, because that's what I did, you know, and, you know, it was the will of this board, you know, to do what it did. And I don't believe that the revoking of my parole was more so about, it, you know, I believe that it was more so about responsibility and punishment, you know. And I know that I'm not a threat or a danger to the community, and I believe that this board believes the same. So, and I accept my responsibility. And them 230-some days, man, have been harder than the 26 and a half years I ever done, that I didn't done. And it's been hard. But I hold my head up, and I accept my responsibility. And, you know, I just want to be that man to carry my mama's casket. That's it.
Okay, so, Mr. Kenyatta, I'm going to give you the benefit, because your first failed UA, I mean, the first time that you missed a UA was on March 8th of 2018.
But yes.
I'm giving you credit because you did take one the day before, which is March 7th. It was negative, and you took one the day after, and it was negative.
Yes.
So I'm giving you that on that one, and then it looks like your next one that you missed was on April 23rd. You failed to submit, but it looks like on April 20th, you did take one, and it was negative, and then you took one the following day, the 24th, and it was negative.
Yes.
And you took one in May that was negative, and then you took another one in May that was positive for alcohol, and you say that's when you had the alcohol, that the one glass that you were celebrating with your fiance with. But sir, do you understand the importance of making sure that you respond and you take these UAs and you respond when you have a UA, that you go down there and do it, that's the most important thing? Because the reason why you get on home arrest, sir, is that we try to get you in a regiment so that you don't commit any crime or get in any more trouble. So that's why we have home arrest, and it's so restrictive. You can't take any of that for granted. As you said, you took it, or you had one on the 7th, so you automatically assume you wouldn't take one on the 8th. You don't know when the PO may call you, or your number may come up. So you have to take, as the instructions that are given to you, your instructions are to take it daily, to check daily. Those are your instructions, sir. And you have to take that daily, whether you take one one day, and the next day you have another one to take, and the next day you have another one. You have to do that. And the reason that you get it randomly like that, sir, is so that, you know, a person can't go out and use drugs or drink alcohol.
That's right.
You never know when that test may come up. And so there's a reason for that. And so when you violate that, sir, you put yourself in the position that you're in now to wind up going back to prison.
Yes.
Do you truly understand the situation that you're in, sir?
Yes, I do. Truly understand. I understand. And I assure that man, my fiance fixed the phone. She did it it was there. And I'm on it now. It's popping up on my phone, I'm on it. And I just wish, you know, that you give me this believe in me and give me this chance, man, and let me, you know, show you, man. Let me show you that, you know, I'm moving forward, man, and I'm putting this, you know, at a distance behind me.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any other questions from the board? Okay, Mr. Kenyatta, you've got several supporters here, and I want to give them the opportunity to present information to the board. So I don't know who wants to go first. Thank you for being so patient today. We really appreciate it. And if you just state your name.
Dorothy Williamson.
Thank you. And what would you like the board to hear?
This is my baby brother. I have something here from the MOU that I'd like to submit to you guys.
Is that the letter from the...
It has reference to
your mom.
No, my mom.
Oh, that's from your mom?
Yes. Yeah.
She passed and I got birthday on the 14th of
December. Okay, but you know, if you give us this, you can't get it back.
No, I don't need it back. It's just my birthday.
Okay.
I don't need it back.
Okay,
thank you.
My mom passed. I am Yaya left and one sister, Katina. Katina and me is moving in my mother's house. I'm moving from Houston, from Texas to Phoenix. It should be my last load coming in. Because I got a lot to put out a lot of stuff she had. Yaya is going to be with me. I'm going to be his new parole officer. So as far as wine, we can't have nothing to live with, no beef. We can't even have chicken in my house. So, y'all want parole? I got it. That's his big sister. I'm 55 years old. He just turned 50. That's the moving truck. Sorry. What I'm willing to do, I'm gonna divorce my husband in the process, and I'm moving to Phoenix, Arizona, 827, where Yaya will be. So it'll be me, Yaya, and my sister, and we got him. That's my word. And I was married 22 years. You couldn't put up with me no more.
So said, okay, that's how restricted it's going to be.
I'm waiting on. I've been on the phone with the hearing every time. I have a hearing on Dorothy when I, it's like I already know y'all. Because I've been talking to every last one of y'all every time. It's he even had a hearing. I've been on the phone. Okay. So I'm asking, let me have you for the next 26 years. Let me have.
Any questions for? Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Let me just ask you.
Oh, Mr. Johnson.
Just ask you. I mean, you do understand the importance of home arrest and the restriction that he has, that it is so important that he abides by those restrictions. It's not, the restrictions aren't there to prohibit him. The restrictions are there. He's been gone 26 years. It's so easy for them to relapse and go do something mm-hmm. else when they don't have those restrictions on him. Like he said, he took a UA one day, so he didn't think the next day he had to
he
take
it. He just going to take one new day to make sure he got one. Even if he ain't on his day, we must have his mind taken.
Yes.
That's all I can say. We can go by. Once I find out where, then we go by every day.
Okay.
Because I don't have a husband and I need help in retirement, I'm waiting on. So we can ride by every day. My mom's feeling this Friday. I don't know if there's any way we can expedite y'all out for that day. Because I had to get him expedited from Red Rock to the hospital was easy. My mom on his birthday, the day that she passed. Now, I need to know what I need to do to get him to the funeral if he not able to make it. He want to take the casket to her final resting place, which is Friday.
I'm sorry.
That would be Department of Corrections. We're a different agency. That would be our decision. So. Okay, any other questions?
And they charge me to do it. In Texas, they wouldn't even see them, but down here they...
No, we probably don't have the money. Texas mm-hmm. has.
We got big money in Texas, but I'm being in
with the oil.
Yeah. I'll be in Arizona for the next 26 years.
All right, thank
if
you,
if I find me rich husband, I might... It might be a different story.
Thank you so much.
He got me for 10 years, I know that. Because I should have known if I don't anymore. This is my future sister-in-law, and what part I don't have, she got.
Okay. Are you going to speak next, though?
Yes.
Okay.
You ain't playing with
me. Okay, and then if you just state your name, please.
My name is Tressa Hawkins.
Okay, thank you.
I don't really have to come back down here. I'm missing work. But when I got released the last time, I know that he was happy to be out. He was happy to work, happy to be a participant in the community program that he was in. And I made sure that I arranged my schedule around what he had to do so we can make sure that he got there. It wasn't even a problem. He would have to wake me up sometimes to get there to make sure he was there. I did make sure that his phone, where it would give him the text messages every day with his colors on it. So that way it made it a little easier for him because he didn't quite understand some of the things when he first got out. You have to keep in mind that he had been locked up for 26 years and a lot of things that have changed with the way things are out here with technology, you know, was something that he had to remember. So I've been there to support him. I'm going to continue to be there to support him so that he won't go back. Because his family needs him, I need him, he needs to be a positive part of this community. He has a lot to teach some of these young men that are coming up, going in and out of prison now. I spoke to his former, the president of TPAC, and he's willing and ready for y'all to come back to work. I know he's lost out on a few things that are really important. His father passed, and now his mother. But hopefully that you think about these things and everything he's been able to tell you and consider all those things when you decide whether or not he should be released. I know that he should be released, and I know that he knows what he did and what he's not going to do. He knows what he did, and he's not going to do that again. He realizes the seriousness of it. We talk every day, and I know he does. That's pretty much it.
Questions for Ms. Hawkins? Thank you so much. Again, thank you for consultation.
This is necessary. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, Mr. Kenyatta?
Yes, ma'am.
We're coming up on the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity, if you'd like. Oh, I'm sorry, did we have one more person? I'm so sorry. Relay that shortly. We have one more speaker. I'm so sorry. Thank you. And what's your name, please?
My name is Katina Stoker. Yaya is my uncle, my brother, and him. My dad and him were brothers. We lost my brother a couple of years ago. My uncle was gone for that. Now his mother and father. So I need my uncle. We need my family. We all need to be together. His mother the one raised me, you know. And we just need him home and want him home. We know he's a better man, a different man. We all here for him. And I think he understands exactly he will be gone. Get yourself together. He knows all that. So can y'all please just let my uncle home, especially at a time like this. I need him. Our family is hurting. We love him and we want him home. And can you please, I can clean your office and everything for y'all, everything. If y'all need me to, for free. So please.
Any questions? Thank you. Thanks so much. Okay, and your other, she did not. Okay. Just so I make sure I don't do that again. So sorry, I didn't do that intentionally. I have my sheet and it only has one name on it, but the other two signed in on a different paper, so. No, you didn't do anything wrong. It was me. Okay, back to you, Mr. Kenyatta.
Yes, ma'am.
Now we're toward the end of your hearing. And the board will go into discussion, but before we do that, we want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. Is there anything else, without repeating something you've already told us, please?
Yes, I just wanted to say, was the board able to, you know, to go over the packet that I sent?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, so that's not necessary, you know, for me to even go back over that, because I was just going to reiterate in that packet what my judge pleaded for me, and not only that, with this board, you know, when they sent that letter to me in 1995, 24 years ago, they told me that this very board told me that my sentence is clearly excessive. It's clearly excessive. I done 28 years of that sentence, of that excessive sentence that they said in 1995 was excessive. And I just want the board, to consider, allow that to be in their consideration. But most important, you know, whatever the board do, I just, my mother is to be buried this Friday. And I'm my mother's only living son. And I pray and plead. I plead that I'm allowed, you know, this release at whatever the board's discretion, whatever. I mean, I sign anything that if I mess up, you don't even never have to even consider me no more. Because that's how serious I am with this. I just want to be able to carry my mother's casket to her final resting spot. She was with me for that 26 years. And this 9 months being back, that's all I credit that she hold on and that my mama didn't go while I was here like this. And it happened. And I just want to be one, my mother's only son, to carry her casket. And that, whatever this boy can do, whatever. And I sign anything. Whatever it takes, I just want to be the one to carry my mother's casket. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kenyatta. The board is going to go into discussion, and we do our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. Yeah, absolutely. We just ask the people here just remain silent, and Mr. Kenyatta, just remain on the phone, remain silent, and we'll be back with you in a few moments with the decision.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board's now in discussion. This is a complex case. I remember, as Mr. Johnson does, the when we granted the home arrest, and I remember the revocation. In fact, I was the chair. I'm having difficulty with Mr. Canaro maintains that he was violated for drinking that glass of wine, but that is not the case. He was violated for missing two UAs and drinking the glass of wine. And I understand when the UAs that were around, the ones that he missed, were negative. But the principle is, when you're on home arrest, you must comply with the conditions. So I'm just really struggling with that, and he's got it in his mind that he was violated for the wine, but that's not the case. He was really violated for not complying with the conditions of supervision. So I'm thinking about, realize he served a long sentence, but something bothers me when this board grants someone that possibility and they squander it. That just bothers me. So I think I'll just open it up to fellow board members for further discussion. Mr. Thomas.
I do understand how you feel. He did take a UA the following day after he didn't submit, after he said his PO contacted and told him he didn't do it each time. He went and took a UA the day after, and it was negative. He never had a positive until that last one where he said he was celebrating and had that drink. And I agree absolutely that he has to comply with all the rules and the regulations. He was strictly told that he has to follow by all those, and that any miss, diluted, unsuitable for testing, that he would be revoked. And according to the revocation, you know, the reason that his PO revoked him was because of that stipulation imposed by us is the reason why they revoked him. I think that I do feel as though, listening to Mr. Kenyatta, that he now truly understands those conditions and that he has to do it. I think that he has still family support. His sister's moving out here from Texas to help him out. He has a job. He was working during that period of time. He does still have a job. There was information at one point. There was a letter in here from his job in support of him, saying how good of a work he was and how he tried. I would be willing to give Mr. Kenyatta another chance at home arrest. I think that that he understands that how sincere and the reasons for having those allegations there on him. So I he was violated for missing those two, but although he missed them, I don't think he was drinking alcohol on those two that he missed. He took one the day before, the day after he missed, the next day he took one, and it was negative, and then the day after the second one it was negative. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he was just busy and working and just got caught up and missed those UAs. But I do think that he definitely understands the importance, and I think that his fiance gave the explanation that she now has his phone set up that it would go off every day, and he's been locked up for a long period of time, so certainly I do understand that, you know, technology could be quite different for him. That's one of the reasons for being on the home arrest. But I would be think that Mr. Kenyatta, if he got home arrest this time, that he would do it, and he wouldn't violate it. And hopefully we won't see him come back before this board again.
Okay, thank you, sir. Dr. Wayne?
Yeah, thank you. Rittenhouse, as you stated, that this is a very complicated one. Well, first of all, I do extend, unfortunately, and the board's condolences to the family with the passing of his mother. I know that can always be a challenge, and that's something that I know that he wishes. He stated what his wishes were between me and Friday. That's something between he and the and his family and the Department of Corrections, which we have zero control over whether he can attend a services and what they cannot attend the services. Don't care what this board does today, this would not, from this board's perspective, permit him to go and participate in that service. That's a decision, because if this board decided today to release him, it's going to take some days before he would be released. That's not going to happen that fast, but whatever, I don't know the procedure that Department of Correction has for people to attend human services. I think that this, because of where we stand, this put us all in a precarious situation, and I really feel that. I think that the one thing that, as just as one board member, I cannot speak for any other board member. We speak and we act independent of each other. We don't make decisions based upon what others say. Therefore, I'm speaking only as one board member. This is a very unfortunate situation. However, when this board goes out on record and says to the public of the state of Arizona that one has been given parole, or in this case, home arrest, this is something that must be abided by, no matter how hard it is. And it's very hard as a board member for me to sit here and say that. But unfortunately, he did violate. We cannot deny that. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to make a motion my motion will be that we deny general parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest for Mr. Kenyatta.
Profound regrets, I'm going to second it.
I disagree.
Okay. Whoops. I checked the wrong box. Seconded by Dr. Wright and disagreed by Mr. Johnson. So, Mr. Chairman, the carries. Because of the majority.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. And the release type denial will be 412A, 411 home arrest. Reasons for denial, serious and violent offense. I'll say multiple victims because there were more than one officer there. Serious, I don't know about serious bodily injury. Violated previous probation and parole. I'm going to say recent disciplinary, that was 2015. Certainly I'm not going to check no family and community support system because I think he's got very strong family and support, evident by the folks here. Any other things that board members would check? Okay. All right, Mr. Kenyatta?
Yes, ma'am.
So the board has voted to deny your general parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest at this time, sir. As far as about Friday, you should talk to your CO3 about that, because that'll be, I think there's an application that you need to submit about that. And as to whether you'll be allowed to leave for that, sir.
Ma'am.
Yes, sir.
May I state for the record? May I state for the record? Because I know the packet that I disclosed. If I'm sure, I was told that packet is discarded.
The packet is discarded. No, we have the packet in front of us.
Yeah, no, I'm saying as far as is the hearing, after the hearing, is the packet discarded?
No, a copy is retained in the records.
Yes, ma'am, I just want to say, ma'am, you know, as far as this is concerned, ma'am, this very board, the judge, the courts, they agree in that the sentence, it was clearly excessive.
Mr. Kenyatta, what we're addressing today is your behavior while you were on home arrest.
I understand, ma'am, and I didn't commit a misdemeanor. I didn't commit a felony, although I violated and I messed up. And I didn't done 9 months, ma'am. 9 months.
Understand that.
Nine months.
Mr. Kenyatta, Did you understand the reasons for the denial? The serious and violent offense, multiple victims, violation of probation and parole, and recent discipline?
Yes, ma'am. And I done, when I first came to my hearing, ma'am, and I was denied my parole based on all of that. And when I came to my second hearing, this board granted my parole. And being that was considered in the denial of my first hearing, you know, and it granted my second parole. Mr. Johnson was the chairman, and I'm saying, ma'am, I mean, till now, 28 years later, no one has fixed the excessiveness on my sentence, and all I ask is that be taken into consideration, because if the life is taken off of me, if the life or the correction of my excessive sentence is done away with, we won't even have this.
Sir, in Arizona, the time to correct that is within, I believe it's within, there's a short time period prescribed. I believe it's 90 days.
90 days, yes.
Yeah, that has to, if you believe your sentence is excessive, the time to correct that would have been 90 days.
Yes, the judge would have issued a statement that took that effect, saying that it was excessive, and to the best of our knowledge, the judge did not do that.
No statement.
To the best of our knowledge.
I know.
So, sir, your hearing is concluded.
Let me just state, because at that time, the law changed 11 months after I was sentenced, but he went on the record and he stated, I disagree. This man do not deserve a life sentence in prison. And he pleaded to the, hello?
Sir, the issue that we're considering today is not your sentence.
I understand, ma'am, and I just want, and hope that this board can take that as a mitigating, you know, to this situation. I know I was held accountable for that violation. I've done 9 months, almost a year, and I promise it won't happen again. I just need that opportunity to be given to me to show this board that it won't happen again.
Okay,
I know it
won't
happen again.
The department will be certifying you to come before this board again in a period of time. And we will see you at that time, sir. This will conclude your hearing for today, sir. Thank you for participating, and thank you, and we appreciate you waiting so long. This concludes the hearing.